Good morning. It is Monday, May the 18th. Joining us for a remote talk shop is Brian and, in his words, the bank dude, John Dalby.
Good morning, John. How are you?
I am doing absolutely fantastic.
Hey, you lost the cue cards, didn't you?
Well, we're not remote, so I can't talk about your wonderful tie.
Yeah, that's true. You know what? I haven't had a tie on, probably 5 weeks, 6 weeks, something like that. So they're wonderful looking ties. They're all just in the closet.
Which is where they belong. Listen.
Yes. Why don't you hit us with it? Why do we do that?
I was going to do prestige, but there's a lot of Latin words that I know I would butcher, so I'm going to save that one for when you come back.
Let's go with
Potter's Field. Where did we get the name Potter's Field for a piece of ground used as a burial place for the poor?
I know that one.
Do you?
That is a reference to the 30 pieces of silver that Judas gave back to the... the Sanhedrin or the Pharisees for betraying Jesus. And because they couldn't take blood money and put it back into the treasury, they purchased the potter's field, which is where the potter broke his broken pottery and threw, and that was used to bury strangers who were in Jerusalem.
So they get all that in the book, Winston?
Pretty close. That's the second time this month that someone's answered this correctly. I got to step up my game.
Good. Well, congratulations, Mr. Dalby.
I think it's the first one I've ever gotten.
A heightened level of confidence in everything you say now for the rest of the show.
Yeah, very good. Good luck with that.
Yeah, okay. So what are you hearing from your bank buddies throughout the country? What the news media is presenting talking about? Is what the talking heads presenting and discussing? Is it pretty much what your buds are saying is going on at the street level?
So, you know, as far as the economic impact of sheltering in, is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, what is today and what might be tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, of course, we're recording this over a week in advance, so things may change since we record this to when it's being played. But with that said, we're seeing, as is the rest of the communities that I've talked to anyway, have seen a lot of concern over the closure and the survival of small businesses who have been impacted by this closure mandate. Even with PPP and with all the other programs that we're putting together to try and save businesses, some will not make it.
Is there any commonality that your gut is sharing right now that of those that might and those that might not? I've had the opportunity here over the last weeks to be kind of monitoring some of the financial stuff, and it seems like the big boys are pretty much, they're rocking along, particularly if they're in the tech industry. People are continuing to use that. That's okay. Retail, a little bit different story. Local, small, independent, completely different from what we're seeing at the national level or those that are regional companies or larger.
Yeah, the biggest price is being paid by the Main Street merchants and restaurants. You know, the smaller independents, they're the ones who are paying the price here. There are a lot of businesses that are doing very well in this economy. Hardware, the nursery business, because everybody's gardening and fixing stuff up since they're stuck at home. Amazon's doing extremely well. And so we're seeing a real uptick, for a very small number of businesses. But for the most part, restaurants have been devastated. Small merchants have been devastated. Small manufacturers, some people have lost their markets because of the situation. And now we have, producers of various meats, you know, having trouble finding processors, and so we've, you know, they're struggling. So there's a lot of people out there paying the price for our fight against COVID.
Well, in mentioning the price, the cost of goods sold also. I was talking with a buddy who has a family member who raises pigs in the Midwest, and he said that the price that they're getting now is so low that they literally are not even taking them to market. They're just taking them out in the back 80, so to speak, and they don't see them again. There are some of those challenges, particularly now when you start to get into a glut, like we saw with oil a couple of weeks back. Way too much supply and more coming to be able to be processed through in a normal fashion. Is that a temporary, or do you see that's something that is really going to have to be allowed for over the next 4 to 6 months as we try to get our feet back underneath us?
Yeah, it's interesting. There's an oversupply of actually animals, and that's what you're talking about. And the problem with hogs is once they get too big, they're too big to go to the processing plant. And so what do you do with that animal? You can't just hold it over. So that is a specific problem for them. But the irony is, you know, animal prices are way down, so cattle prices is down, but beef prices are up. Somebody's making a killing on the arbitrage. And there's some speculation there of some market manipulation, but, you know, I am not an expert, and so it will remain as speculation.
Yes, I know what hamburger tastes like, and I know what pork tastes like. Thank you. That's my level of expertise. KINS, gives you information.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memory.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with the bank dude, Mr. Dalby from Redwood Capital Bank. John, some of the changes that are going on nationally, we're talking in the first segment about distribution, getting drivers, just the supply chains and the channels. Things have mutated and changed because of some of the edicts that have come down, good, bad, or indifferent, the edicts that have come down. Locally, though, that's a little bit different because I think for most of our folks, we're at the end of the trail. We're not at the start of the trail. But you had mentioned that some of the local producers here also, or manufacturers, are having a tough time either getting product out or having anybody want their product if it does get out.
I don't know if the issue is the getting out. The truckers are running. You know, the bigger issue is, you know, if you're, you know, for instance, the linen company, restaurants aren't open, so you're not renting or cleaning linens. If your products that if you're a food manufacturer and your products are sold primarily in restaurants, well, your sales have declined substantially. And so what happens is, depending on who you're selling to, your markets may disappear. If your stuff is sold in gift stores, well, guess what? Nobody's shopping those.
It's the secondary level then.
It's generally the market goes away, or you can't operate or manufacture because of restrictions in your local jurisdiction. Easy tough, for you to say.
Tough word, yes.
Yeah.
It's that whole diction part of the word that guy kind of tripped you up there, I noticed. So what is some of the advice that you have or that your folks have been talking about, either for those that had been contemplating a business or those that were in business and were impacted even a little bit more significantly than others with this this period of shelter?
You know, it's really tailored to individuals. I mean, everybody's circumstances are different. Can you hold out? If you've taken PPP money, you have another issue, and that is, you know, how do I spend that money appropriately so that I can get a reimbursement when it's all over? At the same time, we're not getting clear guidance from the SBA on how that's supposed to be done, so it's hard to give people advice on that. For some, it's just trying to make it to opening day. And the problem that I see is, as we're gradually opening things up, I mean, even if they said tomorrow all the restaurants can open, how many people are going to feel comfortable walking in and dining in a restaurant? And so it's going to take some time to ramp up. And the restaurants, I think, are really hit hard in that, you know, their inventory doesn't last, so it's gone. They have to completely re-inventory their kitchens when this thing starts back up, and that's there's an expense to that. So there's a lot of challenges.
Yeah, anybody with perishable, that's a whole different ballgame, because you got to, what you have isn't necessarily what you can start with. You're not filling in what was used yesterday. You're filling in everything. And I suppose that's a whole different discussion point, is if a business is planning and trying to get things rolling, are there checklists for them to go to or reference points? We have a couple of handouts that we've been doing for our folks, but are there places, or maybe even just getting people to think, okay, take half a day and walk through your business and see what changes do have to be made. And how long is that going to take? I mean, just simple reflective moments, too.
Yeah, I mean, trying to predict what the market will bear coming out of this. When do people start walking back through Old Town and shopping? You know, does that start as soon as things are lifted and they're able to open? Or is that gradual? What about the hotels? I mean, they have taken a huge beating. And when do we start feeling comfortable of, you know, traveling and staying in a hotel again? So my concern is that even though we're looking for the opening day, the reopening of our communities, that opening day is not the end of it. I think there's a big ramp-up period, and you got to survive that also.
Well, one of the challenges that I see, you know, from my perspective with my back to the street, is the grouping thing too. You know, if it truly is going to be end of the year before groups of 25 can assemble in California, or 50, or maybe 100, well, okay, for most of the events around here, we're probably okay. Some of the fundraisers may have to do it differently, but then you've got the county fair, the city fairs, you've got rodeos that are going on, and then as you move down into the larger areas, you know, what about the stadiums? You know, where these folks and these economies are based on having 2 million people go to see the ball game. If that can't happen, you know, things are going to be a little bit different, I think. And so as you're talking, how do you project your budgets? How do you project out what the consumer trends are? Yeah, you know, if somebody said, okay, John, in 4 months, where's the bank going to be? You know, are you putting coins in the back room?
Yeah, we just shred our budget. So, we're trying to reforecast where we're going to be, but our balance sheet has changed so much with the payment protection plan loans. We've done so many of those that are, you know, it's really changed the look of our balance sheet, and we don't know what that's going to look like going forward. So with that said, you know, we're trying to reproject, but there's so much uncertainty in what is going to be consumer behavior when we come out of this thing, what is going to be the resources available to people, where does consumer confidence go? And then you were talking about, you know, behaviors. So, you know, are we going to change our behaviors as far as going to anything that is has a large group? You know, will it be festivals again? Will it be a state fair?
Right.
You know, there's a lot of questions.
Hopefully we'll have some answers when we come back. It's 8:30.
Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices, formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon. Stay tuned here in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that interview in its entirety, and we'll have it on our website later this afternoon.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with the bank dude, John Dalby from Redwood Capital Bank. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Reduc, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. John, with these challenges that everybody is experiencing, whether they realize it or not, how do you suggest for business operators or individuals at home to redo a budget process? There's the basic fundamentals. Okay, but those fundamentals now, everything's kind of in question. How would you suggest if somebody was trying to reset and start over or try to get accurate, how do they go about that?
I don't think you can get accurate. You know, budgets, projections are only as good as the assumptions they're based on. And if you don't have a track record or a history that you can fall back on about what those assumptions are is numbers on a page. So to some degree, my recommendation is going backwards and saying, okay, what is the minimum I need to break even as far as the number of sales, and design your restart to minimize that number because of the unknown. So rather than saying, okay, I can sell X number of dollars, it is, here are my fixed expenses. You know, how much do I have to sell to break even, and does that look like a reasonable number, going into the startup of this economy? I don't have any great advice, and I don't think you can accurately predict it, and that's the problem is, I think consumer behavior is going to change, and it's going to take some time for people to get back to where they were. Everybody's shopping online. Amazon's having a record year. Will that change? Will people stop ordering it online and start going back to the local merchants? Those are questions we don't know.
Yeah. And I saw something. Oh, what's the name of the car guys that are selling in certain markets online only? Their business is up. Still not making a ton of money, but their business is up. And what they're arguing is just because people are going to be a little goosey, about going to a car lot. Do you touch the car handle that somebody else has already handled, or the steering wheel? Mm-hmm. Some of those concerns that really weren't there before are now kind of staring everybody in the face all over, and we've been now super or hyper conditioned to be looking for that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, and I'm seeing in talking to people that there are those that are very fearful of this virus and they want to protect themselves, and there's others that just, I don't care. Just give it to me, let me get it over with. I'm going to go out and resume my normal life, and what happens, happens. And I don't know where that percentage is. Is that half the people? Is it three quarters? And, how is that going to influence the way, again, consumer behavior as we move forward? Who are they going to buy from? And what resources are they going to have to purchase goods and services?
Yeah. I guess the good thing about all this is that there are no advisors out there, because we haven't done this one before. Okay, I mean, if we had experts in this, that would say something else was was going on. But you look, you guys have got your branch over in Arcata. Okay, Arcata and Humboldt State linked together. Certainly Humboldt is going to be dealing with some challenges. I know some of the four-year schools are planning on having classes, in-person classes. I saw Arizona State is going to be doing that. Now they're starting to get a little backlash. How do you... how do you try to forecast a community, or is that so far out of bounds that you just can't right now?
You know, and this is not a predictive model, what I'm about to say, but because I don't know the circumstances other than I know it's a challenge, but you know, there are possibilities, things like Humboldt State doesn't reopen. Those are real possibilities, or other companies or organizations that, you know, once were a big part of our community, you know, they don't come back. And that could be devastating in many ways. And so we really need to help each other. And I think I read something just the other day about this is our opportunity to come back together as a community. It's been so partisan. You know, you're either on the left or you're on the right, and it doesn't matter what the other one's doing, they're wrong. And, you know, we need to look at what's best for the country, what's best for our community. And we need to rally around our small businesses and our restaurants as they reopen. We need to help them out.
It would be interesting to have more of a unified approach instead of the feeling that we're always at odds, always doing battle, can't trust anybody, you know, some of those types of things that are kind of that secondary undercurrent that you see every once in a while during political windows or during development discussions and things of that nature, that there's always those very ardent supporters and those very strident in opposition to. So maybe that'll be the legacy out of this thing for us. That'd be kind of nice if that was the case. Have you been pleased with the way that the community has responded to helping to support businesses so far and businesses supporting the community?
So my experience of what I've seen is those businesses that are still doing well in this economy or at least breaking even are doing what they can to help the others. You know, I know of a number of businesses that are buying gift certificates from, you know, struggling vendors and just to give them a shot in the arm, or giving them, you know, various, depending on their relationship, terms that would help them survive. And so I see support out there of the local businesses helping other local businesses. Now, I'm not seeing the big businesses helping the little guys. I have not seen that
yet.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and a lot of the big boys, you know, either they do it anonymously or they're in so many different marketplaces that it might not be feasible to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's I wish I had a lot of answers. In fact, I would say that's the one thing we found managing through this crisis is we'd ask a question, and most times our management team, we'd look at each other and say, I don't know. You know, what's going to happen
here? At least they're
honest. I don't know. Yeah. When are we going to be able to do X? I don't know. We don't know.
When are we going to lunch? Okay. Don't know. Fine, thanks.
Don't know.
CINS information. It's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with John Dalby. John, what are you going to be using as either canaries in the mine shaft, so to speak, or barometers of where we are in this comeback as things kind of start coming back out from the shelter?
So what are the canaries, that what you're saying?
Yeah, are you going to be looking at, you know, on-time payments? Are you going to be looking at housing sales? What are some of those things that are going to be indicators for the bank that things are kind of resetting?
Well, with, you know, a number of things have happened between waiver of payments, and we've seen a lot of forbearances of payments. And so, you know, one of the first indicators for us is when when loans go past due. And so because of the forbearances and, you know, like the SBA has paid, I think, 6 months worth of payments for SBA borrowers, we may not know what's really happening, you know, anywhere from 3 to 6 months down the road as to how much our borrowers actually are struggling, other than trying to talk with them and meet with them. So it's, you know, our barometer will primarily be, you know, in that six-month period of time, what do our past dues look like. At the same time, you know, we're talking constantly to the small business people. I mean, that is primarily who we work with, and so we're talking to them all the time about what they're doing. So we're just watching. I mean, we're really, it's about all we can do is watch.
Yeah, I suppose the communication with the individual businesses will probably be one of the more critical opportunities for you guys, but also the feedback that you'll be able to get, just even if it's anecdotal, you'll have a pretty good consensus, I would suspect, at the end of each month. Yeah. Well, it will be an interesting period one way or the other, huh?
Interesting is a good word.
Yes. Have you guys seen any relief at all on the regulatory side? Are the regulators backing up a little bit, or are they continuing to visit their favorite buddies on a regular basis?
So our regulators are very understanding. You know, our bank was, our financial statement, our balance sheet was very, very strong. So this is not a problem for us at this point in time. But because we're a community bank, we go as the economy of Humboldt County goes. So it's very important that we see a restart of this community soon, and that it's an effective restart.
Yeah. All righty. We'll keep pulling on that cord, and let's see if we can restart this engine here together, huh?
Very good. Thank you so much.
Yeah. All righty. Thanks, John. See you.